right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Serious Angler Podcast, powered by our friends over at X2 Power Batteries. And as always, we're with the Capitan, Mr. Andy Full, and I'm always your host, Bailey Eichbrett. A little bit of a different scenario this week. I am posted up here in a hotel room, which is why my audio probably is subpar to what
most. And he's wearing an Eagles jersey.
And if you're watching on YouTube, yes, I'm wearing my Eagles jersey. I'm watching my Eagles play like crap right now. Yes, I'm an Eagles fan, for folks that didn't know. Yes, I'm like the worst sports fan ever when it comes to location. We might have talked about this on the show before. I'm sure we have. I'm an Eagles fan, but I'm also a Pittsburgh Penguins fan. And then college football, I'm an Oregon Ducks fan. So that tells
you're a little scattered, bud.
Scattered, but there's reasons. There's reasons, I promise. Not that everyone cares about the whole sports talk, but for college football, my dad and I were originally Penn State fans. Okay, and anybody knows what happened to Penn State about 10 or so years ago. There's a reason why we're Oregon fans.
Pa had funds with the Paws.
Yeah, we're not going to get into that because we don't want to get this show flagged. But essentially, my dad and I are like, well, we got to find a new team. And we very quickly kind of fell in love with Oregon and have since been following. I'm not a diehard Oregon fan, but I will, you know, always tune in and root for them, that sort of thing, follow along. The Eagles started because my dad is a big NFL bandwagoner. And the time I was growing up, he was an Eagles fan. He was an Eagles fan when I was growing up. I'm like, well, I'm going to like my dad's team. But I was also like, I'm not going to be a bandwagoner like my dad. So I stuck with the Eagles since I was like, dude, I don't remember liking any team ever, you know, beyond that. I mean, I went to one of the Bills training camp when I was a kid. But beyond that, I mean, I've always rooted for the Bills. It's been hard to root for them. But you know, as of recent, you know, when they've been doing good, I've rooted for them just purely.
Well, basically, like your whole childhood, they've been good recently. So, you know, because you're so young.
No, the most of my life, they've sucked. but as of recent, my entire fiance's family, and they're all Bills fans, so I root for them unless they're playing the Eagles, which Bills are visiting the Eagles this year. Which
Bills are going to win.
It sucks that the ticket prices are so dang expensive, because that would be fun to get a whole posse to go down, a whole group of us.
Yeah, the issue is we'd all have to wear Eagles and Bills gear at the same time so you don't get jumped. So
yes, and I think I'd be the only one in green going to that game.
Yeah,
but that's okay. Yeah, so there's my sports story. I mean, the Penguins. I like the Penguins. I grew up loving the Sabres, and I'll still root for the Sabres. But it's kind of the same thing. If you're playing the Penguins, I'm rooting for the Penguins. Oh, go, baby, go! I'm watching this game at the same time. Thank gosh we have freaking Swift, dude. This kid's all right. Sorry, I'm getting off topic
here. I need Gainwell to play. Gainwell is my starting running back, and he got all the carries week one. Then he got hurt. Now Swift is taking over the backfield. It's killing my fantasy.
I'll be honest. I love when Gainwell runs, but he's a wildcat runner. Like he's not a, you know, run 20 times a game runner like Swift is. Swift was so good with the Lions. I was very confused when we had Gainwell starting. Gainwell's, I don't know. He's has a place there, like obviously people see in recent years. But again, this is not a football podcast. We're kind of going off tangent here because this is.
Yeah, what are we talking about?
I don't know. I was trying to go through why I'm such a horrible sports fan when it comes to like location. But to end that rant, because there's probably some hockey people that listen here that are like, dude, why are you a Penguins fan? Essentially, what happened was playing travel hockey growing up. Playing so many tournaments in Canada. I ended up coming across Sidney Crosby before he was even drafted. And I was watching him, followed along with him. Just so happened he got drafted to the Penguins. But I liked the Penguins prior to that because I played against the junior Pens. And the age up from us was Mario Lemieux's kid was on. And Mario Lemieux would coach every now and then and ran into him at a rink. And he had, like, talked to us and everything. It was super freaking cool. Ever since then, been infatuated with the Penguins. So that's why I'm a terrible sports fan, because I can't talk about the Penguins at Philly games. I can't talk about Philly at Penguins games. So it makes for an awkward situation.
You just can't talk about the Ducks ever because nobody will listen on these.
I can talk about the Ducks because nobody cares about Oregon over here. Nobody cares. It's different if you're like Bama or something like that. I mean, New York can talk college football because we don't have a freaking good college football team.
10, right? Next year or the year after, they're Big Ten. So people will be talking about Oregon a lot more, which would be weird.
Well, it's still New York. We have
crap. It's like the Big North Conference now with like USC, which makes it just doesn't make any sense. Ugh.
It's still New York at the end of the day. New York sucks at college football. So I can talk about it whenever. But I'll stop talking about it now because we're talking about a this is a fishing podcast, and the main topic of today is one that Andy and I don't want to say we purposely neglected because this was both part of our upbringing, part of us learning as anglers, part of our passion was fishing ponds, fishing from the bank growing up, and we're gonna start a little series here, and we really would like your guys' feedback on this because we can really get specific with it. We can break things down. But in this episode, we're going to talk about fishing a lake from the bank. We're going to have a fishing a pond from a bank, fishing a river system from a bank coming up. But we're going to start with the lake here. And we can obviously have this be a seasonal thing. So we're going to tailor it to kind of around now what's happening, you know, summer going into the fall. But we wanted to get into that and kind of break that down. Because we don't really, and we talk about kayak fishing, we talk about these tournaments, we talk about, big, bass boat world, where I feel like we've not purposely neglected the bank because a lot of what we do can still apply, but we haven't purposely talked about the bank angler and their approach, their POV when it comes to stuff like this. So, we're excited to break this down because this is kind of like a blast for the past for us. I mean, we've fished from the bank every now and then, but when you have a big shiny boat and another means like a kayak to get out off the bank, you don't really you don't put it into perspective all that much anymore, but we're going to force ourselves to do that. And before we start that train, Andy, I want to bring up to folks, we've had a bunch of people subscribe to our newsletter a while back, and I had to take a hiatus from that because we all did not have the bandwidth to keep that going. But I have brought a new breath of life to that, and we will be kickstarting that again this week, the Serious Angler newsletter. And this is going to be a whole new thing, not just about our shows and everything, but it's going to be industry news. It's going to be a look back at our shows in case you don't miss anything. Shows coming up, get a sneak peek at what's coming for our show for the week, for the whole network through all three of our shows, as well as you're going to have maybe some exclusive discounts. You're going to have exclusive kind of like juice, if you will, that we're gonna take our network of anglers that we know and text them on the side, be like, hey, what's one little juice, like maybe it's a color change or something sneaky that on a certain bait that we're gonna put into those newsletters. So if you guys want to subscribe to that, go down below, either email us, get in touch on social media, or go to the link to our website. You can actually directly sign up on our website, seriousanglernetwork.com. But wanted to plug that quick before we got this thing started. And the Eagles quarterback sneak, they just failed. Oh, now they got it on fourth and goal. But that's like the rare occurrence when they get stopped.
The dirt score?
He did.
Yeah, fantasy.
And now you're beating me in fantasy even more.
Oh, I'm smashing you, but we won't talk about that.
Oh, no, I'm getting smashed even worse in my other league. My other league, I have 160 points, but the guy I'm playing has over 200.
Shoo! Yeah, you might as well quit then.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. He had we're not going to go down that road. We're not going to burden people with the football talk.
All right, let's talk about fishing from the bank.
Fish from the bank, but on a lake.
Yes.
So on a lake, typically ponds, depending where it is, and of course we're going to have shows coming up specifically on these, but a pond, and depending on the river, you might have a lot more access when it comes to ground you're allowed to fish, public bank for you to be able to access different parts of that body of water, where a lake you can have certain lakes that you can go the whole thing, but there's also a lot of lakes where it's a lot of private land, so you might be restricted to certain areas that you're able to fish at. Even some boat ramps for whatever reason don't allow you to fish from the ramps either too, which I get, and I understand and I don't understand sometimes, but to put it in perspective, it's summertime. Things are hot. They're starting to cool down, getting into the fall. It's a time of year where I feel like you can have fun pending the lake because there can be matted grass on the bank and such. So that's going to start decreasing here. So there's a two ways you can approach it, because there's a time when all those fish were leaving for deep, but now you're coming into the fall time where, especially largemouth wise, they're going to start crashing the bank a little bit more and feeding like heavy on bluegills and such. So it's a time where you can catch a lot of fish from the bank, pending, of course, that body of water. So, Andy, I'm kind of curious. So with your approach, and obviously, like we said, guys, let's put this in perspective. This is depending on what body of water you're on. Every lake is different. Some lakes you'll have way more access than others. But on a lake that's, say it's a grass fishery, where you're going to have – you're starting to see these mats on the lake start become isolated patches. Some of it's connected to the bank, some of it's not. You park yourself at the ramp that you can go fish at. How are you going to break that sucker down?
Oh, that's a good question. That is a very tough question, because ironically, like growing up, a lot of the lakes that I did fish from the bank had no grass in them. So it was weird. But I mean, if I can flip it around from what I'm looking at from the boat and then go to like the bank, right? Like I'm looking for the most concentrated, healthy grass from the bank. Cause in the fall, you're gonna have grass that's dying. You're gonna have grass that's matted. You're gonna have really vibrant grass, but it's the wrong type of grass. So first of all, it's knowing what grass is the good grass, how much of it is there. And then also what your forage base is in the lake, right? Like if they're shad eaters or bluegill eaters or perch eaters, and then understanding the size of the fish or what species. Like if the lake is predominant smallmouth and you're fishing a grass mat, you're probably not going to catch too many smallies. So you might want to change up your direction there. But if it's a grass lake, largemouth, like a couple really good baits to throw from the bank to just catch fish would be like a Senko, Wacky Rig, Texas Rig, but also a chatterbait, spinnerbait. If the grass is submerged and you can see it and it's really clear, even a rattle trap will catch you a lot of fish in the fall from the bank.
Yeah.
And then if it's matted up, obviously you probably want a frog or like some type of buzz bait to swim around it, or just a basic swim bait, depending on what the forage is.
Yeah, and I'd say I'd add to that where there's a lot of bait options, and we're going to get into like our top three that we would take to, say, a new body of water this time of year. But it's like a process of elimination, where there's no electronics involved. There's none of that. So it's your fan casting, and it's a process of elimination of there's high percentage areas that you need to recognize, whether it's laydowns, it's isolated patches of grass, it's docks that you're able to cast to. Whether they're standing timber or not. And I'll say usually and more efficiently, obviously in the dog days of summer, sometimes you might want to, you know, pending what you have, and start slow. But I'd say this time of year, start fast and slow down as you can kind of get hints and let the fish tell you, one, if they're even up shallow yet or what they're feeding on, that sort of thing. But also where they want to have that bait and how fast do they want it. So, you know, I'd say starting off, like Andy mentioned, you could have a topwater walking bait or topwater bait in general, like say a chopbo or a walking bait, a buzz bait, things of that nature. You can cover water quick, a spinner bait, a chatter bait, you know, buzz the area accessible to you faster. And you can kind of understand from there what the beat might be on those fish, where maybe you had a couple blowups that didn't quite get the topwater or not. Maybe they're eating it pretty good, so you can stick with that and just make, you know, cover more ground, make more casts, you know, where your fan casting becomes 5 casts. Maybe if they're eating it good, now it becomes like in an area you're taking 10 when you're fan casting. What I mean by fan casting is think about it in perspective, just a general bank. You look at that bank and it's 180 degrees of water in front of you. And from your left to your right, you're 180 degrees is you're taking 10 casts. You know, every so and so often in that radius. So if they're eating that good, spread that out, take more time, make more casts. That way you run into some more fish. But there's times where if they're not eating that, maybe that's when you go and bring out the Senko or a weedless drop shot or something of that nature. You can go a little bit finesse, slow down as you go, and that might help you differentiate what those fish want. And then that way that, you know, these are all clues, right? Same process as if we're in a kayak or boat. But say fishing from the bank, for sure you want to have that same process of elimination. Now, if you, it again, this varies on pending the fishery, and we'll compare it in two major lake differentials in regards to, we'll say, a grass lake and a non-grass lake. Because if we try to do every different style of lake, we'd be here for hours. But on a grass lake, I'd say frog for sure. Frog's always going to be the mainstay, especially if you have matted grass or even some sub-submergent grass where a little bit is topped off, a frog can still play really well.
Agreed.
Let's say for sure start with the frog. Buzzbait around the edges of that grass. And I also even argue that a swim jig. Swim jig around some of that grass too can be something a little bit of a different approach. But then you can go to those treble hook baits if it's a non-grass fishery.
Yeah, like even a square bill would probably work pretty well.
Yeah. Especially, I mean, and that's for both, you know, so like a lake that has submergent grass, you can still throw that square bill. Obviously that's going to take a little more tinkering when it comes to line size, how big or how deep that square bill goes. Because you can size it just right where you keep that square bill from, you know, ticking the grass, and you're able to rip that out essentially like you would a trap. It'd probably be more efficient to throw the trap. Whereas, you know, like on a non-grass lake, you know, something that's just got rocky bank or silt, that sort of thing, square bill's gonna be great. That's probably gonna be your next go-to instead of, say, a chatterbait or a spinnerbait.
Right.
But then again, it's also good to remember that there is, this time of year, they're feeding up. So you got to factor in too, where it's, if you're catching some, say, on a crankbait or, let's say, a small swim bait on bottom, try throwing an application that'll keep it on the top of the water column too. Maybe that's not a top water. Maybe the water's getting too cold. Maybe not this time of year getting too cold, but you guys understand what I'm getting at, where it's maybe throw that spinner bait, even though it's 8, 10 feet of water, if I can speak right. And that spinner bait is up in the water column because they're going to be feeding up. They're looking up this time of year. But that's a good start there. But Andy, let's break down a grass fishery. Let's go. You have three rods you're able to bring. I don't think we have to go as far as rod setups, but at least baits and, let's say, favorite colors for this time of year that we're going to be throwing when it comes to a grass fishery. And we'll do our best to make all of our baits different, so it's giving you guys options. And we will also link these baits down below for you guys too.
So, like, my top three baits that I would take to a grass fishery. If my tackle box is limited, I'm trying to, what would I use? So, if I have sparse grass, probably going to take a popper or a popping frog that I can cover both. I'm gonna have either a chatterbait or a spinnerbait, and then honestly, like a wacky Senko, like just a 5-inch Senko. Because if you need to slow down, it's one of those baits that if you can fish it fast enough, you'll get bit, but mm-hmm. you can also slow down. You can present it multiple different ways. You could Texas rig it and put it on a drop shot and get it through the grass if you wanted with a spinning rod as well. So you can be very versatile with like a 5-inch stick bait worm. And those would probably be like the three I would take. And then colors, simple green pumpkin white for the chatterbait, spinnerbait. And that frog will be black or white or bluegill.
Killer gill, baby.
Yeah, sorry. I took a bunch of different colors, but
no, you're
just good. Where my mind goes.
So two segments off that I want to get to in this show that I'm thinking about now. But yes, love those. And I'll add on the frog, killer gill, go freaking DeAndre Swift is they just giving the ball for us again. Sorry, going off topic. Killer gill in that
squirrel
bonsai is literally my all time favorite frog. Like if I'm ordering 20 frogs, I'm ordering 18 in killer gill and one in black and one white.
Yeah, that sounds about right, honestly.
And I know we have some people that are swearing up and down because we post that frog a lot.
Yeah, but everybody knows about it at this point.
There's still people that don't throw it. But for whatever reason, that it's just they nailed that one, especially when it comes to bluegill fisheries. Even bluegill's not in there. For whatever reason, that bit, that color just gets bit all the time. Again, we'll link these down to Omnia so you guys can save some money on them. So for me, so you went frog, chatterbait slash spinnerbait, and wacky rig, correct?
Correct.
So for me, grass fishery, I'm going to go a swim jig. I'm going to go swim jig first. You can do, obviously, you can pour your own like we do with Do-It Molds, or you can, some ones that I like a lot are like the Outcast Tackle swim jig. They make one that's super light. You know, put a correct trailer on it, like maybe a the Zoom, oh my gosh, Z-Craw.
Mm-hmm.
Not butchering that, right? My brain's not operating correctly.
No, I think that's right.
Zoom Z-Craw. You could do like a Crash Craw. Honestly, I love a Rage Craw. Something, something super light that I can flutter in that grass, but also keep subsurface where it's almost waking it to an extent. That I would love to cover water with. Something subtle, something they're not seeing as much because, especially pending the fishery, they've been pounded on all summer. So going to something that they don't see as often can be very effective. And I'm going to have two, at least, you know, say one tied on and one in the box, whatever I'm bringing with me, backpack. I'm going to have a white, and I'm going to have a hybrid of, it's going to be a black and blue swim jig, but it's going to be a green pumpkin trailer. That way, if I want to try to mimic bluegill. So that's what I'm going to rock there. And then I'm going to go, if you got matted grass on the bank, I'm going to go punch rig. Give me a 1 ounce weight, you know, three out.
Chuck it to the moon and pray you can get as far as you can.
Down, man. Freaking DeAndre Swift. Here he goes again. So I'm going to go 65-pound braid, you know, 1 ounce punch weight. Like my mainstays are usually a Berkeley Crash Craw or D-bomb. Can never go wrong with Missile Baits D-bomb. And that's one where I'm going to get a bead on. You know, I wish I could have said frog, because frog would allow me to know easier if those fish are going to be in there. But you can honestly break down a match.
Well, that's fine. We'll just go fishing together, and I'll throw the frog, and you punch, and we'll figure it out, right?
Yeah, but we're from the bank here. We're breaking it down that way.
Yeah, that's fine.
And real time. But so what I'm saying is I feel like you can break down a mat just as easy punching than you can frogging.
Yeah, I mean, I agree, especially if the fish aren't rising or blowing up, right? Like, so right. If they're glued halfway through that mat and they don't want to rise, you're going to get way more bites punching every time.
Yeah, and if you're not soaking, like if they're eating it, like, dude, for me, punching, I'm going to be honest, it's hard for me to go and flip into a mat. I love punching. I absolutely freaking love it. But it is impossible for me, which this is going to come full circle. It's kind of odd that this works this way. If I punch into a mat, and it goes in, and I lift it. The most I'm ever lifting it is twice. We got some of these guys down south that lift and rises it, and they have that thing in there for like 30 seconds. I can't do that, but I can sit there and I can drag a net rig or shaky head or drop shot
for like 8 hours.
Yeah, for like one cast for 3 out. Yeah, it's something ridiculous, but I have no patience for that. But essentially, like if you're going in and you're doing like one rise, like you can cover a mat pretty fast.
Yeah,
punching. I'm gonna go back because that's gonna be a really good bite this time of year, especially with that grass dying off, condensing. You know, the less grass that's, you know, high percentage alive, the more those fish will congregate together in tighter spaces. So chances are, in the fall, this time of year, as temperatures are dropping, and you find that mat, chances are, if you get bit once in there, you're gonna get bit again.
Absolutely.
So don't like feel free to, like, especially being on the bank, that you're, when you're restricted in space. Tidbit off of the punching is, if you have the tackle to do it, change sizes or even baits, because you can go through that mat, catch a couple, give it a little rest, come through with a different bait, or say it's, you think you can get through with a lighter weight, you might be able to catch a couple more. And then if you have Andy's frog, you can try to catch one or two more after that too, just something that's a different presentation. So I got swim jig, I got a punch rig, and I'm going to say grass fishery from the bank.
Made it tough on you.
No, you didn't. I was going to go weedless drop shot.
Yeah, that works.
It's a boring answer, so I'll provide a different one. I will do... Ooh, you know what's a good one?
Yeah, you know, there's a sneaky one I just thought of.
That's what I'm...
I wonder if we're on the same brainwave here. Like, fluke? Yeah. I was going to say, the count of three, let's say it together. I was like, we're missing a fluke. Like,
people are screaming at us, like, fluke, you idiots!
Yeah. I was like, we're missing one here. And then you're like... I was about to say, on the count of three.
Oh, my God.
John Stamos. Jalen Hurts for another pick?
Yeah. I'm horrible with a fluke, though. I'll be honest. I don't know. For whatever reason, I have a hard time throwing a fluke.
It's like the last thing I'll ever pick up. And people will yell at me all the time. They're like, why don't you throw a fluke? I'm like, I just can't. I think, actually, last year in a tournament, I was fishing with Brad. I had one tied on because on this lake, I know the fluke can actually play really well. And I was like, you know what? I've never caught a tournament bass on this fluke. Let me skip it underneath this dock. And sure enough, I caught like a 2.5-pounder. And I don't think I threw it the rest of the day.
I mean, they have their place. They catch them.
They do. I've never dialed it in or figured it out. Maybe that'd be a good Lure Lab episode in the future.
It for sure would.
Especially the donkey rig.
Yeah, that's another thing you can do is put two on there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure it certainly makes things interesting. But, yeah, I mean, that's three mainstays for breaking down that. Now let's run through a non-grass lake. What are your three applications you're going to be? You're walking up to the ramp, no grass. Maybe there's some rock here and there. What are you going to throw?
Some type of crankbait, so probably a square bill in either, like, a bluegill or a crawfish pattern. This one's going to kill you. A ballhead swim bait. And then probably like a spinner bait or going to get really old school here. Something that I used to throw all the time when I was a young kid, a 3-inch grub on a ball head. I can't tell you how many fish I've caught from the bank on non-grass lake.
Safety. Why do you run the ball against the Eagles line on the 2-yard line? That's just, sorry. Go ahead.
Baker Mayfield will probably run out of the back of the end zone.
That's a good point.
But, yeah. We're
getting the ball back now.
Yes.
It was all part of our plan.
But, yeah. Yeah. Ball head with a 3-inch grub in, like, white motor oil or black. And you're probably going to catch fish on it in a non-grass lake. And it's going to catch whatever's around. Like, if there's no bass around, you're probably going to catch crappie on it, bluegill. If your lake has walleye or perch, it's going to catch those as well.
Is motor oil the long forgotten color?
Yes.
Why is that, you think?
I don't know. I don't even remember like how motor oil came about, but I think it was like it's the same story as like green pumpkin. They were changing colors to do something with watermelon in a vat, and that's how green pumpkin came about. Mm-hmm. And then it made it like it was like a darker watermelon that turned into green pumpkin. It turned into something. I think motor oil is like along those lines. Like they were changing the machine from like watermelon to brown. And it made that motor oil color. And like, ooh, this looks good. We should probably keep making these. Or somebody probably got some and were like, I'm going to try this. And caught them. And they're like, okay, now we got to figure out how to make it. Yeah. But yeah, I think motor oil is like one of those colors that you never see anymore and anywhere.
No, you really don't for whatever reason. I mean, it's like the best color in the Berkeley Power Bait, Power Worm, like the classic.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, sorry, keep going. So I got
my three.
You get your three? Okay.
Square bill. Ballhead swim bait.
What swim bait, bastard?
And a 3-inch grub on a ball head or football head.
You'd be catching the crap out of walleye.
Yeah, probably.
Okay. I'm going to go. First foremost, I'm going to go either. I'm going to go a topwater prop bait, as in either a Berkeley Chapo or Whopper Plopper. I'm going to go in white. Then I'm going to go jerkbait. I'm going to go jerkbait second. Just any classic shad pattern tip. Probably do a shallow diving crank. Or, good gosh. shallow diving jerkbait, and then I'm going to go – you said grub with a football head. I mean, that kind of qualifies. I was going to say a football jig, but I'm going to go –
well, it's ball head or football head, depending on how much rock or mud bottom it is.
Well, I will twist it up a little bit and say Ned Rig, because you can't go wrong with a Ned. They just freaking bite, even though it drives me nuts.
They always bite it.
Well, yeah, those three. Yeah, that was three. Good grief. Can I count? So with a lake, just remember access is obviously going to be difficult. So thinking outside the box is going to pay off, where you can start with your mainstays, start fast, start, you know, big power fishing. But understand that you can go down finesse a little bit, or, you know, and vice versa, where if a lot of guys are out there finesse fishing, go power fish, because you might be able to get bites that they're not getting. You just got to be a little bit more patient, maybe a little bit more, be a little bit more creative from the bank, from a lake situation that might not get, when you're only talking about a high trafficked body of water, if that makes any sense. What else? What are we missing, Andy?
Oh, so from you're fishing from a lake from the bank that doesn't have any grass on it, one of the biggest things you can look for when you're transitioning from summer into fall is areas that actually like displace heat. Because if you have areas that displace heat, like riprap or a boat ramp or floating docks with the black bases on it, that's going to bring in bait fish to them because they want that warmer water, and that's going to suck bass there. So you want to find areas that bass can ambush and pin fish against to eat. So hard surfaces, hard like seawalls is another good one in the fall time, because you know bait is going to be against the seawall. If you have bait against the seawall, the bass aren't going to be too far behind if you find the right conditions to have the bass push them there. So always look for something hard. Riprap, seawall, dock, floating docks with black bases, even old wood docks or pylons that are out in the water or across a muddy bottom. These are all great spots to cast to from the bank to catch fish in a lake without grass.
Let's be real. Any structure that's off the bank when you're fishing from the bank is good stuff to cast it.
Everything. That is a fair point. I'll give you that one.
This applies to kayak, boat, bank, everything. Play your angles when you're fishing the bank. Say you're on the bank and you're fishing a dock, and you're able to skip or get a parallel along that dock or break wall, whatever it may be, from the bank. Work those. Like, a lot of people walk right up and walk right on the dock without taking a cast. Like, stay 10 feet or so back.
Yeah.
From that, especially if you're on hard ground, like if you're on, say the bank is just straight grass into the end of the lake, cast far away.
Yeah.
Like, it might seem, obviously, you know, be smart if you're at a boat ramp or something, people are putting in, don't do crap like that. But I'm saying, like, if you have the room to do it, you're not going to get in the way of someone launching a boat, or you have a park that's on the lake, you know, take cast farther away, because you don't realize how easily you can disturb those fish. It's actually incredible the things that they can feel from that distance away. But like, cast farther away. That way it's something a little bit, you know, they're not used to that. Work your angles from the backside of the dock that you can't get from a boat, where you're directly parallel on that dock coming uphill versus downhill. Things like that. Other tidbits for you bank folk. But
no, I think that's pretty much like the general consensus. Like, I think bank fishermen and all fishermen, right? Not, I can't really put bank fishermen in their own thing because we're all just fishermen. I think fishermen in general overthink everything. And a lot of times with bank fishing is we're limited to where we can actually fish. So speeding up, but slowing down can be so important to actually catching a fish. Like, bank fishermen shouldn't be looking at it, in my opinion, from my understanding of bank fishing, going out and you're going to crush fish, unless it's the spring, because you can find the absolute mother load on the spring and just blow their doors off. And then certain days in the fall that can happen as well. But bank fishermen, you have to remember, and all fishermen, is some of the biggest fish in our lake live actually shallow. So you have to make sure that, one, that you're quiet, two, you're making really good casts from the bank, and three, if you get bit, get them in, because there's a lot of things in your way to usually getting those fish to the bank and landing your trophy bass that you hooked, or just bass in general. So, and usually if you find an area that it's tough to get into, it's probably where the biggest fish is going to live.
Yeah, all great points, Andy. Well, dude, I think that about wraps up our part one of Casting from the Bank series here.
I like it.
Covering the lake. Not a long episode for you guys today, but hopefully there's some tidbits you can take from there. Of course, these next 2 weeks, as you guys know, like we mentioned, if you guys have been keeping up with the show, that there's no live shows for the next 2 weeks for the pure fact that I am traveling on work, unfortunately, so there will not be time for me to really do a live show with my schedule being all over the place. So we're going to – Andy and I are going to be busting out some shows for you guys. That way we are keeping up with you guys, keeping you in the know, and talking about some different topics that we haven't really had a chance to as of late. But in case you guys missed last week, the whole forward-facing sonar debate we had on Brandon Polinick, Josh Bertrand, and Joey Cifuentes, who are veterans of the years, anglers of the year. They've won all won tournaments. These guys have, while you look at it and you're like, these guys use forward facing sonar all the time, why would you get only those guys on? While I think it'd be valuable to get someone on that's against it and has used it, it's very hard for me to find someone that doesn't have outlandish things to say that don't have any factual backing to it. Whereas we can have guys that have used it and have unbiased in the remarks of just going at the comments that are being thrown around why forward-facing sonar is so bad, and they're able to defend those with actual facts and put some different perspective out there. But it's a show that I hope you guys will enjoy. We think that we went about it the correct way in bringing our voice to the whole debate, that there's been all these things, comments thrown around from certain individuals that are against forward-facing sonar, that they just throw comments out there without any fact to support it. And so we wanted to at least voice our opinion. So hope you guys enjoyed that. Check it out if you haven't already. We got some cool episodes coming up for you guys. But as always, we appreciate you, and we'll see you on the next one.
Well, that was an awesome show. Hope you guys enjoyed it. If you can and your app allows it, please leave us a rating and review. It really helps us get seen more, which allows us to access more time and more variables to be able to bring to the show to make it better for you guys. So hope you enjoyed it. And if you did and you liked some of the things we talked about in this episode and want to check out our show partners, all of that is in every single show description. You can click down there. It's got all of our discount codes, all of our links to our show partners, where you guys can go and support the people that support this show and help us make this show happen. And of course, this show does not happen without you guys. You guys know we appreciate you. You're the Searsanga fam. You're the reason we're here. Appreciate y'all. And we'll see y'all on the next one.